It's mind rolling, and we're rolling today with my guru is here today, Duncan Trussell. I thank you so much for appearing, and a special guest, he's beyond special to me, Trevor Hall, Rampriya Das, is here. Welcome,
thanks
Trev.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and just a little intro, Trevor, many of you obviously know who he is, singer-songwriter, and he's been close to me since he's like 17 years old, and we're going to tell that story again. I know we told it before,
oh, cool.
We're going to tell it again about how it is that he came into this whole thing, and you don't know because you weren't at my session.
Whoa.
With him that we did.
Whoa.
This whole thing. Do you want to know about
Whoa.
Kali? Do you want to know about Kali?
Hold on.
Yes.
I walked in and I listened to you speaking.
Oh, so you heard me. You didn't hear
I
you.
Didn't hear Raghu.
Really?
That okay. Passes. You're good.
You did a great job.
Oh, thanks.
I feel bad now. I just did a podcast with Duncan for his show. Mm-hmm. And he's been getting complaints that from his folks that this guy is really gruff, you know?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I had to address
so
it.
So I'm having to tone myself down.
Now he feels neurotic.
Yeah, I'm completely
like
crazy now. He's put me out the. So, but I want to say a little about our, because the family thing, I'll quickly go through and you'll add in, but. I have a younger brother and late 20s, same as Trevor, and they went to school together in Idlewild, and they were bumping into each other, becoming friends, playing music together, and so on. And the next thing you know, my brother Sam had a picture of Maharaji on the wall. Now, Trevor knew that Sam had an older father, obviously it was his second marriage, and he kept walking by and being attracted to this picture. And then one day, he said, "Who?"
Yeah, I said, "Who's in the photograph?" Sam asked me to come spend the night in his dorm room because we were gonna make music and stuff. And that's when I really got a good look at the photo, and I was just like, "Man, I know that guy," or something like that. You know, it's just this weird feeling. And so I said, "Hey, is that your dad?" And he was like, "No, that's a saint." This Indian saint named Karoli Baba. And I was like, well, who is that? You know? And he said, oh, well, my dad and my brothers were in India with Neem Karoli Baba in the 70s. And I was like, well, tell me more. And he brought out Miracle of Love, the stories compiled by Ram Dass, and started reading. And we read the whole night. We didn't go to sleep that night.
Wow,
we just
cool.
stayed up the whole night and pulled an all-nighter.
Yeah.
And that was the moment, I guess.
When I saw him, same thing, familiar, but I thought he looked like my Uncle Jimmy. That's really what I thought. My God, kind of looks, I feel like I know. Oh, it's just because he looks like my uncle. I was like, oh, he's like, really weird. That was back in college. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? That sense of familiarity some people have with him.
Yeah, yeah. And that, well, we all had that at some point. As soon as we went, I mean, you know, my big story is I met Ram Dass and I was very taken, and we just talked about, I trusted him that everything he was saying was so right on and it was what I needed to hear. And I went over to India because if it was good for him, I wanted to meet somebody like, you know, we were just talking about this. What's the use, he's saying, of meeting somebody like this when you meet them and you spend some time with them and they transmit all this incredible vibrations and energy and whatever it is, and then you're back home being the same asshole you were before you went.
Right.
What's the point of that? Is what?
Well, I don't mean what's the point in the sense that any kind of euphoric experience that you have diminishes. I don't mean that. What I mean is, does that symbol of the guru get in the way for some people in the sense that? Instead of being in the moment now and thinking, yeah, this is it. I'm not going to get to the guru. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to get to a guru. All I have is this moment. And you know what I'm talking about? People put it off, right? You put it off. You think, whatever it may be, I'm going to be a good person when this happens, or I will forgive myself after I have done this certain number of penances, or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. So I think that when you, what your experience, obviously completely real, my life has been changed because of it, and so many others have. But I think that sometimes people use the symbol of the potential guru, teacher, the run-in with the soulmate, whatever the thing is, to put off and procrastinate being happy right now. That's where it gets dangerous.
Mm. Okay, that's a good point.
It's interesting. I mean, I think there's a parable that Sri Ramakrishna uses where the camel is eating these thorn bushes. And because there's like these little baby fruits, but there's all these thorns on them, and it thinks, and so it, consequently, their mouth is bleeding, but they think that the blood is actually from the berries. So he's saying that, meaning that the things like, oh, I'm putting this off, like you're saying, maybe they're kind of taking what they think is making them happy and fulfilling them is actually hurting them.
So you're saying that there's a kind of delusion. They're telling themselves I'm happy now, but they're really not as happy as they would be if they ran into the awakened being or had contact in some way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's kind of the whole thing of, I guess, spiritual life is just realizing that you're not that we're not being fulfilled by these things that are impermanent, you know, but we think we are. That's the whole trick. That's the whole game, I guess. And I don't know if that relates to what you're talking about.
I've heard the version of your story I've heard is bloodier, and it was told by it's a Hare Krishna version. So the version of your story I heard is, and it is a Hare Krishna idea. It's from ISKCON, but the idea is, these Mayavadis, as they're called. Mm-hmm. You know the term Mayavadi?
Mayavadi, yeah.
Yeah, Mayavadi. It's a term for non-Hare Krishnas. I was staying at a Hare Krishna farm once, and with Adi Kartadasa was his name. And Adi Kartadasa remarked at one point that one of his daughters, he said something like, I don't want her to date a Mayavadi. It was really funny. I don't want her to be around them. The idea in that version of things is that there's this sort of polluted state of being that if you don't follow the four regulative principles, no eating meat, no gambling, no intoxicants, no sex, then you're polluted and you must purify yourself in some way, right? Mm-hmm. But their version of it is great. It's a dog in a village with no teeth has found a dry bone and is chewing the dry bone and is confusing the blood oozing out of its gums as eating meat from the dry bone. Much the thorn bush is a sweeter version.
I was just trying to bring it in a light flavor here.
Yeah, right.
If we want to go there, we can go there.
Let's go there.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, the problem with that is what ends up happening there is now we have a moral hierarchy where all these people in the world are having a great time walking down the street in Vegas, slurping on their giant slurpy straws and screaming from them to whoever. It's just people drinking their own blood. They're not really experiencing the true beauty of life that those of us who have come into contact with the guru get to experience, right? And then you have all kinds of problems. Because now we've got a kind the spiritual classism, right?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I hear what you're saying. Maharaji also said that the guru is not external. It's not necessary to meet your guru on the physical plane. I mean, in the realist sense, the guru, I don't think, is not just one person. You know, the guru is so many things. The guru is speaking through so many things, through the ocean, through, you know, the sky, through a stranger, through your own heart, you know, and so there's also that, you know. I believe that as time goes on, I think that, you know, like Krishnadas always says, he says, my life is my path, you know, my life is my teacher.
Yeah, Gandhi, you know? That's Gandhi, from Gandhi.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Well, to pick this stuff up at 17, and then he turned around and he ended up living at a Kali Temple in Laguna Beach for years and immersing himself in the in that path, for worship of Kali.
A Kali temple.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a Kali
temple. Really, but no bullshit Western American thing. It was a real Kali temple with with that they consecrated. They brought in monks from the from Sri Ramakrishna in Calcutta from his I mean, the whole thing was done very, very with great purpose, and it was we, you know, I've been there, and we've sang there, Krishnadas and I, and all that, and it was also quite a beautiful murti, a statue. I mean, it's really, and that place was imbued with this quality.
Wow!
And you know, I'd love for you to just because you did it yesterday at the retreat, and we're all in the retreat, by the way, with Ram Dass and Lama Surya Das and others. Including Duncan and Trevor, and tell us about Kali. You like Kali, don't you?
Terrified of Kali. Oh. I do like the image.
I was too. I mean, the being introduced to Maharaji in school. You know, obviously you learn so much about Hanumanji and the story of Sita and Rama and all these things, and that's kind of, I think, the focus. But then, as time goes on, you learn about other forms of the divine and all this stuff, and I didn't really have a choice. I just was always around that energy. I started learning some meditation from a teacher at the school, and he was a devotee of Baba, but he's also a devotee of Mahakali, and he was the one who knew of the temple down in Southern California. And when I went there for the first time, it's so funny because I didn't tell this the other day, but I remember before I left for California, I'm from South Carolina. Okay. I'm from a small, small town in South Carolina. And before I went off to California, I remember my uncle, we were all, whatever, at the house. And my uncle said, you know, in course of conversation, you know, Trevor, you got to be careful out there in California. There's a lot of these cults, you know, there's a lot of people just taking on stuff. And he was telling me all about all the different cults. Sure. And then he said, you know, and then there's the Hare Krishnas. And he said, they're going to, you know, you're going to shave your head and you're going to get tattooed and you're going to be in this place. You know, you got to be careful of that. And I was like, I'm going to be fine. Just relax. Sure enough, you know, 3 years later, I have a shaved head. I got tattoos all over me and I'm living in this temple.
That's right.
You know, but anyway, when I went to the temple, I was scared. I was, you know, seeing the image of Ma for the first time. I was like, whoa, this is like, what is this, some type of cult? Is this some type of far out thing, you know? But yeah, there was something, I was fearful, but there was also this thing in me like, she's so incredibly beautiful. But I was like, wait, that can't be right. That can't be right, because she's holding a severed head and a sword and skulls and all this stuff.
Necklace of heads, right? Who are those heads?
He's going to give you the whole thing.
So there was that fear, but I couldn't get away from it. Everywhere I went, a book would come about Mahakali or, you know, this type of thing. You know, I had no choice. I was supposed to, you know, be with her, I guess, in that sense. And I ended up, after high school, I signed this big like record deal and was gonna go, like, you know, make millions and you know, do that whole thing. You know, it was all planned out, right? Got all this money. I was 18 years old. I got this like big apartment in LA, you know, smoking a shitload of weed, like had no idea what I was doing, you know. And I was so freaking sad. I was so sad. I was so lonely. I had no friends. You know, I couldn't go to bars because I was 18. And I kept driving down to this temple every weekend or so. And the record deal actually went south. I got shelved and eventually dropped. I ran out of money, literally.
Yeah.
And I was living in Laguna Beach in this apartment. And I couldn't pay my next month's rent. And I was like, man, what happened? This was supposed to go this certain way, right? And the temple, they said, well, why don't you just stay here until you get back on your feet? Because you're here every day anyways. you know, why don't you just stay here? And until you get back on your feet, you know, no pressure. So I thought, great. So I ended up moving into this little tiny cabin in the garden. And I stayed there for 7 years. Wow. What I'm saying is it wasn't like I'm going to live in the ashram. I'm going to live this life. It was just a natural unfoldment, you know. And through that, through being there and living with the devotees and living at the feet of Ma, I learned so much about that relationship of the divine mother and child aspect. And when I looked at Ma, you know, now there is no more like, there is not that fear. It's actually like, oh my God, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It's hard to explain that to maybe other people who at first take her iconography.
Can I just describe her to you really quickly, and you tell me
sure.
where to find the beauty in it?
Sure.
By the way, I don't mean that sarcastically. I get it. And I've had Kali devotees tell me, you know, at first she seems ferocious, but then you learn.
Unpack it.
I'll try to bring it to mind. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at like the setting. It's some kind of like battlefield or...
It's a cremation ground.
Oh, okay. Cremation ground. Mm-hmm. So there's skeletons everywhere. Mm-hmm.
Jackals.
Blood.
Yeah.
And isn't Shiva sort of sleeping there?
Shiva's lying on the ground.
Is he asleep?
No, he's, you know, Shiva is awake, fully awake.
So they're on a picnic or something.
He's under her foot.
But you're right about the battlefield, right? Because there's many different stories. And one of the stories is in the Devi Mahatmyam, which is 700 verses, the Chandi, that is from the Markandeya Purana, which is, in the scriptures. The yogis pulled out these 700 verses because of their extreme importance. And that's where Ma Kali first makes her kind of appearance in that rupa, right? But they are on a battlefield, right? And there's the war between the, you know, gods and the demons, like any story, good and evil, you know.
So it's this some archetypical war.
Yeah, but it's within, you know, the battlefield is our consciousness, you know, this type of symbolism, but
right.
There's the good and evil. But she, long story short, the demons are winning, and Mother Durga, who is the same as Kali, just different form, she gets really, really, really mad, right? And a light comes out of her, and pretty much Kali emerges from her, and it's this wrathful, terrible form, and Kali just goes on this crazy spree of, you know, killing these demons, but she's doing it so fiercely and so wildly that everybody thinks, oh my God, she's going to destroy everything in her frenzy. She's like drunk with this, you know, frenzy, right? So Lord Shiva, her husband, lies down in her path, right?
Oh.
And when she's kind of, you know, not looking, she steps on her husband and stops. And that's why she bites her tongue like this, right? Oh. Because in the Indian tradition, that's kind of a form of like, oh, I'm doing something bad. She's stepping on her beloved. So, oh, I'm going to bite my tongue, right? That's one reason why she's on Lord Shiva. But
so she's intentionally biting her tongue.
Yeah, yeah.
So
but she didn't intentionally step on him. That was the thing. It was an accident.
He just laid down in front of her.
Yes. But Shiva, in symbolism, right, is that Purusha, that supreme being but not moving. It's eternally still, eternally, you know, supreme consciousness, right? But
Kali has dreadlocks, by the way.
He has long dreadlocks. And Kali is moving. Kali is the power, the time, Mother Nature, the cycle. So there's all these different layers of symbolism.
Sure. Well,
so,
and let's keep moving here. Yeah. So now I know the tongue thing. Had no idea. Thought she was just sticking it out to be ferocious or something. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we have this being, scary looking being, sticking her tongue out. She's wearing a necklace of heads.
Right.
Who are the heads?
So there's 50 heads. Right, that she's wearing. It's a garland of heads. Right, at first we're like, "Oh my God, this is far out." Right?
Yeah,
but the heads, each head, right, there's 50 heads, there's 50 letters in the Sanskrit alphabet, right?
Oh, wow.
So that's cool. That represents all sound.
So that is so cool.
So all sound trippy, comes man. From the mother, right? Everything we hear, good, bad, the sound of the ocean, this language, everything is filled with mother's presence. So what happens if we had that mindset? Everything I hear is just ma, ma, ma. You know, that brings you into a certain...
Everything I hear is a severed head on the neck of the
Everything I hear is a severed head on the neck of the deity, right? But it's bringing us beyond the body.
Right.
Right. She loves us so much. She wants to get us out of this body consciousness and realize our true divinity.
Right, right.
Right.
Well, I mean, this is what the world is like. Mm. You do end up getting your head cut off by Kali in one way or another. You're going to die.
You're
going to
die.
Out of it.
And it's that stark truth, right? It's no more playing around.
Right.
Right. There's an expression with Kali. They say that there's the form of the goddess Lolita, who's 16 years old, beautiful, the embodiment of all beauty, right?
Yes.
And the way she brings you through liberation, she holds your hand as you're skipping through this flower garden and you're smelling all the flowers, and before you know it, you're like enlightened.
Yes.
And they say with Kali, she reaches through the keyhole and she just rips you through the keyhole to the other side.
You wanted, though, you have told me you wanted the 16-year-old to take you over to the other side, hold your hand, and bring you across the river, the ocean of samsara. You want it that way, right?
Listen, if there's
a menu.
Or do
you want to be ripped through the keyhole?
If there's a menu, if you get to pick, I mean, my experience with reality has mostly been getting ripped through the keyhole with some trips to Hawaii with a little kid walking you through the flowers. So yeah. I get it. Yeah, that's cool, man. I had no idea all of those things. One last question, because I thought she's holding the head of the gods. I thought she decapitated the gods.
Not the gods. No. She's holding the head of our ego.
Okay. Right? I thought that was Brahman that she decapitated.
No. She's holding the head of our ego, right? So Ma, one side, she's giving, right? She's giving her lower right hand is giving boons, right? I'm your mother. I'll give you everything. Hold on to nothing, right? Yeah. Baba said, one of Baba's quotes, Maharaji's quotes, he says, God will give you everything for your spiritual advancement. Hold on to nothing. Whenever I see that hand, I think about Baba's words. I'm going to give you everything. Don't worry.
Right.
Right? Her top right hand is giving fearlessness, blessings, right? I am your mother. Don't fear anything.
Right.
You know, when we're a little kid, we're not scared of anything as long as our mother's around. Right. Imagine having that mentality in our way today with the Supreme Devi. Oh, Ma's, she's in control of everything. Don't worry.
Right.
So that's kind of the pleasant side. But then we move over, and in her top left hand, she's holding that sword, right?
Yes.
That sword is the sword of discrimination. It's showing you the difference between the real and the unreal. So she's cutting through all that, right? And that can be painful.
Yes.
Right? That can be like, oh, man, I almost don't want to know the real. I just want to chill out, you know?
Yes.
So she's cutting through all that, right? That's that sword. And then she's holding, in that process, she's holding that severed head, right?
Right.
And that severed head is our ego, right? She's the ego slayer, but it's also symbolizes we need to give everything. We need to, you know, give everything to the divine. And that's not like a bad thing. That's actually, you know, a thing of love, you know. So it's not as terrible maybe
It's the way you just described it. It's really cool, man. And also, whenever you come into contact with the actual, in this symbol, what would be the physical manifestations of Kali, which is inevitably getting sick or people, you know, dying, then in those moments, you experience in general some of the most beautiful, incredible realizations that are the opposite of what you've been dreading.
Yeah.
So it does make sense because the secret of all of the horrors of the world is that hidden behind them are the best times of your life. Inevitably, you have these beautiful, inside of it is there's something very sweet. Yeah. So that's cool, man. Mm. I get it.
The best
representative of this particular path that we know of in the East is Sri Ramakrishna. You know Sri Ramakrishna?
Yeah.
Right. Mm. So as a result of where he was in Laguna, in that Kali temple, the priests were from Dakshineshwar, where Sri Ramakrishna's ashram was, and where it's still very vibrant. And so through that, Trevor got way, way close to Sri Ramakrishna and his particular teachings, which are... and I'm going to tell a story that I told the other day, that this is another way in which we have these cross currents, he and I, one through family, mm-hmm. which is amazing enough, obviously through guru. And in this case, I went, when I first went to India, I went to Pondicherry. There's an ashram there of someone called Sri Aurobindo. Sri Aurobindo was a great poet saint, philosopher saint, who was alive in the last century up until maybe the 40s, I'm not sure, 40s, 50s, something like that. At one point, a woman from France went over, got a dream that she should go over and be with Sri Aurobindo, and she became his spiritual partner. Her name was just Mother. Everyone called her Mother, and she was a saint in her own right, very evolved being. I went over, and that's the first place in India I went. And when I went there, I couldn't see her because she had Parkinson's, and she wasn't well at the time. So, but I stayed there. I got hepatitis, right? I ended up in this intentional community called Oroville, where they built beautiful different settlements and all different kinds of architecture that was really cool. And I did, I was with the American contingent there. But they took me in to take care of me because I had this hepatitis. And they put me under this kind of outdoor thing with a big picture of Mother. And I lived there, it kind of in the open air in a bed. It was really, of course, it was very warm, so it wasn't a problem, but it was really strange, to say the least. Wow. Yeah. And they gave me one book. I couldn't, because I had no energy, I couldn't do anything. So separate the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, which, by the way, everybody out there, please, this is a great book. If you want, if you are at all interested in the worship of the goddess, there is nobody but that being that compares. And I read this book from one cover to the other. And I finally got an idea of what that was. At the point at which I finished the book, I get a message, you can come see her now. And by that time, I was well enough. So I went into Pondicherry to see her in the ashram. And I knew she was very old. And she had, like I said, Parkinson's and lost motor control. So I was thinking, oh, Jesus, I'm just going to get wrapped up in this old body. I'm going to freak out. It's you know, I would talk about your... crazy siguses, they say in Yiddish. Like,
what do you call them?
Siguses. You've got a lot of them.
I don't have a siguses.
Yeah, you got a lot of siguses. Yeah. Neurotic pathways. I had a big one, and that was it. Like seeing old people, you know, that weren't well. I mean, you know, I was 24 right. years old. Anyhow, and you had to bring a special flower to her. Each flower had a different spiritual representation. But I didn't like flowers. I like bananas.
Right.
So I went and got a bunch of bananas. And I get up to the door, and there's like a 6-foot-and-a-half tall, beautiful Indian man. It's like you died and went to heaven. And he was going to be, you know, St.
Oh, wow.
Peter at the gates.
Okay.
He was at the gates. And suddenly, and I'm sitting there, I'm virtually, oh, my God. I'm going to freak out, whatever. I had all this crazy, I was just really nervous on top of everything to meet a holy, I never met a holy being. They opened the door, and it was like, you know the stories that you hear. I walked into a room, and it was full of light, and
yes.
You usually go, full of shit,
yes.
What light? Right. It was full of light.
Wow.
Okay. I don't know how I can tell
wow.
you and make it sound like I wasn't full of shit, but it was full of light. And she just contacted me with her eyes, and I didn't see her body at all. I was just so, oh, my God. whatever that was, somebody loves me like that. Oh my God. And I gave her the banana in French. She went, ah, banana. She laughed at me.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And you get literally 10 minutes. You're just, or less, and you're just there. And she's just, there's no words, no nothing. And it's just, I just, an acid trip is the only thing that I can possibly compare
sure.
it to. That I it just saw
that's
so much.
Wild.
And the guy, the 6.5 foot St. Peter came over and he grabbed my ass to get me out of there. I would not, I couldn't leave. I was just so, and that was my experience with Mother. And
you sure it wasn't the medicine that they gave you for the hepatitis?
I didn't have any medicine.
No, I was just kidding with you. I'm just kidding with you. No.
You know that light you're talking about?
Yeah.
I saw that light once. I was with somebody who was dying of Alzheimer's disease.
Mm.
Craziest thing I ever saw. Where, because you know, when someone's dying, if their ego comes into it,
mm-hmm.
they'll try to fight against dying. Just that's what keeps us on the planet.
Right. Yeah.
But you could watch her. She was unconscious, but you could. It was the weird. I'd never seen this before, and in fact, didn't have any reference point for it even. But I was sitting with her. I was the only one in there with her, and she would go. She would start dying, and everything in the room. Whoosh, lit up the most beautiful,
wow.
vibrant, vivid. It was beautiful.
Really?
And
wow.
then she would like fight it. And it was like watching the energy get sucked back into
wow.
herself. So it kind of reminds me of your story
thing,
a little
yeah.
bit. I guess somebody who would just somehow manage to die without physically dying
wow.
would just be
yeah.
in every, it would be very radiant,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
That's cool, Raghu.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite an experience. Then when I left there, and maybe a few weeks later, I think 5 weeks later or something, Ram Dass finally, I was looking to find Neem Karoli Baba, to find Maharaji, and Ram Dass finally found him and told me where to go. And I went there and met him. That was the end of that part of my life. And 2 days later, he said, "Where were you before you came here?" I was at Swami Muktananda's ashram in near Mumbai. I'm about to say that. And then in English, he points his finger at me and goes, "Mother, mother,
wow.
mother."
Oh, my God.
And I knew that he had been in every molecule of every moment then and way
wow.
before and yeah. way after. But it confirmed my whole experience of the goddess, you know, through that. And then when he, I don't want to, sounds like whatever bullshit it was after he left. Well, I, you know, that I've been really fortunate, you know, and I say these things, and you know, it's not to make anybody the last thing in the world is I want anybody to feel jealous about anything, you know. I mean, you both of you guys are sitting here, and you absolutely have, without any physical talk about the guru is not physical, and you both know that totally. And we say these things, we met these beings and so on. Yeah, it was, we needed to, and whatever karma we had to, God knows how it works. But when Maharaji left in 1973, he out emerged this incredible saint, woman saint named Siddhima, who had been in the background, never came out of the room. We knew about her, but we did not know her. And from that day forward, to this day now, she is still with us. She has been our Indian mother and represented Durga, the goddess Durga, to me. And in the Murtis in Kenchi are Vindhyavasini Durga, right? An aspect of Durga. That, and you know, he said more than once, she is that. Mm-hmm. And so we had that. We've had that all along. I mean, so incredible. I mean, I just saw her in India. I think I don't even know if I told you, and had this incredible
you
moment
did.
With her. Just she's just contact. She has 1 foot over the other side at this point. She's old, and just contacted me, and just like it was something that needed to happen, that she needed to share with me, that without words, and it was an extraordinary moment. So yeah, I am so blessed, there's no doubt about it. But
what a word mother is, right?
Yeah.
What a word, because man, that mother. Is a heavy word. That's a word that a lot of people
it's another
hear that
Western
early.
Thing. Guru sucks. We're mother, not good. Love. Whew, forget about love.
Love's okay.
Devotion. Wow. You've given up your shit for some other, you know. We have ruined all the words.
But this is the thing, like, to resurrect that word is really is an interesting thing to try to do, you know, to try to, like, demolish your idea of what mother is.
Yeah. Well, it's to the neuroplasticity. Retrain your brain and get rid of those habitual tendencies that are tying us down.
But let me just ask you something, just because you so beautifully described Kali. Because I'll tell you, the Western, in the same way that Kali has this terrible visage that you just transformed, let me describe the Western version of mother. So I'm just going to throw out some symbols that we all have for, like, bad mommies. So, okay. No, really.
Bad Santa.
Because
yeah.
The ultimate representation of the dysfunctional mother that I can think of offhand is obviously Psycho. It's the skeleton Norman Bates has put in the chair that harangues and harasses him. Norman, Norman, don't be with girls. Be with your mommy forever. Kill the girls. Mommy, 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 mommy. Follow, do what your mother says, you dirty, bad little boy. Or some version of that, right? Yeah, yeah. So can you please tell me about the ideal mother? Describe to me the beautiful, perfect, pristine,
you know,
wonderful
what?
Mother.
Let me tell you something, because I wanted to segue here. This might be just perfect, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you do this or not, okay. This is a live request.
Mm-hmm.
Can you sing that song to the mother that you did
Which
yesterday?
One? The bow song? Or
no, the other one. The one at the end.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Sure, why not?
Okay, can you put us on hold, sir?
Is this the song?
This is the description.
Let's let him do it pre-song and then in song. I want it because I already know he's gonna. Because listen, I'm not doing this as some trap or anything. When I did acid and read the Gospel of John, I got to contact Jesus for the first time, right? And it was mind-blowing, right? In the same way, again, this is your podcast, so I guess everyone who listens to your podcast is just fine with their mothers, but I imagine there's a whole group of people who don't have, when you say mother, especially the term mother, which is a very severe version of mama or mommy, when you say that term mother, it really does bring to mind a lot of heal me and all of us.
Heal our brother. Heal him.
Describe the
Trevor.
Ultimate version of mother.
I mean, I don't know. In my life, I was very blessed to have an amazing mother.
As he did.
I have to say, I had an amazing mother.
So
I'm going to feel guilty.
I do know that there. Maybe that's not the case with other people, but we actually talked about this in our talk. You know, the idea of motherhood in Western culture and Indian culture is very, very different. It's very, very different. And I don't know. I'm just lucky, like, with my mother, my earthly mother, it is an incredibly beautifully amazing relationship. I don't know. I think that if we had that mother that you're talking about, even if we did have a tough relationship or, I don't know, that maybe, I don't know, possessive mother. I don't know what you're trying
to
describe.
Let's just say complicated. Some complicated. People have complicated relationships
have complicated,
with their parents.
Right. But I think beyond that, if we really stopped, you know, and we really thought about that word, if we could get beyond that stuff, if we really thought about that word, if we just looked out at, like, this view that we have now, people can't see, but I mean, and you really thought about the love of the mother, I think that you're going to feel something.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to describe, you know, and I just feel like if you really genuinely asked yourself, or you called out to her, right? Sri Ramakrishna did, who's the proponent of, you know, the awakening of this motherhood of God, you know, he practiced so many different types of religions, every type, really complicated stuff to easy stuff. And at the end of this whole thing, he could have said anything. He very simply said, call to your mother with a longing heart, like a child calls to his mom, right? Simple. Call, if you, I believe if you really call out to that motherhood, that spirit of motherhood, even if you did have a tough relationship with your earthly mother or something like this, then in time she will reveal that, you know, her essence, the essence of the eternal, loving, unconditional love of the Divine Mother. When my guru said in India, he said in as human beings, we have so many different types of problems, right? We have to pay rent and we have, I don't know, family problems, or we have jobs and we are just trying to, you know, cost of living. I don't know.
Yes. Right?
Whatever. We have so many problems. But he said there's only one problem for the Divine Mother. And he said, because she is everywhere, she can never throw you out of her heart.
And yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's that there's two things. And His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, insists in every, not every talk, but many, many times, the way for this world to change is for the importance is on the mother and that unconditional love which helps develop compassion. He said, that's what happened to me. My mother gave me unconditional love and I was able to develop compassion. Mm-hmm. That's what needs to happen and be nurtured in this world. So that, and I read as far as the description of the mother, I read this prayer that I was taught many years ago that basically says, I don't know how to meditate. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to do anything. I'm a complete lazy shit. But one thing I know, a son can be bad, but it is not in a mother's nature to be bad. Mm-hmm. You will always be supported, forgiven, and so on. So that is the archetype to counter that one. Yeah. Hey, let's do, but I really want, because he does this prayer thing to Mother that is just extraordinary. It really says what she is more than anything else. Okay, do you mind?
Yeah, I can do it right now.
Yeah, right now. We're going to do
it.
We're just going to, you can do it without.
Yeah, why
thing.
Not?
Okay, yeah, do it without the thing.
Yeah.
That thing there called a guitar.
Ma. Jagadodharini Mata Durga Jagadodharini Ma Jagadodharini Mata Durga Jagadodharini Ma Jago jago ma, jago jago ma, jago jago ma janani. Jago jago ma, jago jago ma, jago jago ma janani. हे गौरी देवी रणचंडी देवी जय गौरी देवी रणचंडी देवी जय शिव रमना जगो मा जय शिव रमना जगो मा Jaya Shiva Ramana Jagoma Jaya Shiva Ramana Jagoma Jaya Shiva Ramana Jagoma Jagadodharini Mata Durga Jagadodharini Ma Jagadodharini Mata Durga Jagadodharini Ma
Jema.
Oh, that's beautiful. That you know what you reminded me of? Do you know what that song reminded me of?
No.
Here's the thing. I thought, and was totally a dick move to answer your own question, but I remembered when my mom, mm-hmm. my mom died of cancer, mm-hmm. and she was very, well, obviously very sick. She had cancer, but she was, and I was going to say she was very sick at the end of her life, but like, no duh. so I was visiting her, mm-hmm. and last time I saw her awake was, so she's in bed on oxygen, mm-hmm. and whenever I would come to visit, she'd wash my clothes. She's what she did. So she was, I had to go out with my brother and I came back and my clothes had been washed and she was in bed asleep, but she'd somehow managed to get up and do that. That's the mother, right? That's it. Even though she could barely walk, somehow she figured out a way to do that is this symbol. Okay. That's not, thank you for it. That was so pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, unconditional love.
Wow, that makes me want to cry, love. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
But you guys can't see me cry.
That's right, because we don't cry at these spiritual retreats. That is weird. Why is that one of the top rules here? Is did no one
get out of
no,
here.
No, did you hear what we were just today at Lama Surya Das's talk? Did you see? At the end of the talk, he was taking questions, and this woman stands up, and she says, I wasn't there. Emery told me this, because I was coming here to be with you guys. And she said that this woman stood up and she said, you know, this is my first kind of retreat spiritual thing. And I just had a question. You know, people are asking all these questions about how do I overcome my whatever, all this stuff. She just gets up and she says, why is everybody crying here?
And crying?
Said, she said, everybody, they start chanting and crying and then I cry. She says, why is that? And she was being totally
so cool.
straightforward. And Lama Surya Das said, you know, I think, you know, I'm here and we're chanting and stuff. And Lama Surya Das said, I'm not crying. And I think that's even weirder.
He said that.
He said
that's
that.
Oh, that's yeah. so crazy. there's no crying in baseball.
Yeah, oh, God, that's so great. Oh, this is great. I'm so happy you came along and joined us here.
Super cool to meet you.
Great to meet you as well.
Yeah, man, beautiful.
Yeah, these guys have never met before, so this is really a wonderful thing. Trevor Hall, trevorhall.com.
Trevorhallmusic.com.
Trevorhallmusic.com. It'll be up on the site as well.
Awesome.
And by the way, go there. And what's the last couple of records? What's the record? The record you were playing yesterday, or they were playing yesterday with the Indian...
Chapter of the Forest.
Get that record. Okay, everybody out there, go through Amazon and you can use the mind.
Our portal
link
at duncantrussell.com. There's a portal there you can use.
Awesome.
Okay.
I'm just kidding because I blocked his portal.
Where is it? 50-50 is fair.
Don't go through my portal.
No, it's okay. And this is the next most important.
It's a dumb joke, really. I was totally kidding.
That's great, Joe. This is an important announcement, okay? We are moving all of our podcasts, Ram Dass, Mind Rolling, Krishna Dass, Jack Kornfield, Sharon Salzberg, Joseph Goldstein, Lama Surya Das, Chris Grosso. We are all moving to the Love, Serve, Remember Foundation. We are now going to be under the Be Here Now podcast network banner. Okay, this podcast that we've just done, folks, of course, you'll know it's pre-recorded, is going to launch the new network. How about that?
Oh, beautiful.
And so when you hear this, folks, this will be on the Be Here Now network.
Beautiful.
Part of Ram Dass's legacy that we wanted for all of his family of teachers and friends to be part of moving forward and share what he's been sharing and now you guys are sharing and we want to have you back.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, Raghu.
Yeah, thank you again. Thanks so much. Folks, we'll see you next week. Mind rolling. Ram Ram.
Trump 2016.